It worked just as well in DOS, even better because it didn't take a lot of bandwidth back in those days. This is ASCII, ASCII. And it's a skill, but remember, again, your success depends on developing original skills that you could use against your competition, because the folks next to you, the person next to you, doesn't know how to read the tape, so you could take their money. Next picture. Let me just see how much time we have left. We're getting near the end here. Then you'll all be graduates, I guess, huh? 22, okay. Okay, trying to put some of the pieces together and finding how it's not so easy all the time. This is a classic trend with a continuation gap. A lot of times, you know, your numbers don't match up exactly where you hope they will. You have fairly broad ranges of where support and resistance exist. And you have to determine, okay, I could buy, I think it's going to bounce here, I could buy that stock at 74 and 50% retracement, or I could buy that stock at 72 at the 62% retracement. I mean, where do I buy that stock and how do I know when to hold off? And this requires going back to something we talked about a little bit earlier about the willingness to miss good trades. The more willing you are to miss good trades, the more likely you will make good trades. Because very often, a good trade is followed by a better trade. Very often, the trade you thought was going to happen was just setting up to clean out those folks around you who thought it was a good trade. But then as soon as that happens, a better one comes right along. Because liars could only lie in one direction in the markets, as a general rule. In other words, they can only burn you once. They can only burn one direction of the market, and then they have to reveal their true intentions. Now, you look at this, I want to make sure I get this right for you. You look at this long shadow that day. That long shadow crossed some very interesting points here. You knew there was going to be a reversal, but there's so many ways to lose money on that trade. But you had one strategy that would have made you money. And one strategy that was very, very low risk. And that was sitting back doing absolutely nothing unless or until it got very close to the 62% retracement. Now, it never even reached it, so you might have still missed the trade. But you were telling yourself when that market was dropping that day, if you're in the intraday basis, stocks will not close continuation gaps and stay closed on the first try. I think we talked about that about 3 hours ago. The first pullback of continuation gap rarely gets filled. It'll often get tested, but it rarely gets filled on a, I don't say permanent basis on that bar. You constantly see shadows like that in continuation gaps. Now, you could have just bought up here right into the continuation gap and then gotten shaken out when it kept on dropping and you questioned yourself. Or you could have just missed the trade and moved on. But if you set up in your mind that you're just going to take the extreme low risk point most of the time, if conditions are favorable but not great. In other words, things are flowing in your favor, you got nothing that's supporting your trade, but you don't have everything, you go, if it meets all of my strict conditions, it goes, pulls back right to the extreme point, then I'll be in that. If not, I'm gonna let it go and move on to the next one. Now, that's a real hard process to do. In reality, it's interesting to talk about in theory because we wanna get into these trades and we see them happen. But you need to look, or we need to look, and see how many times we could have just sat back, just set our limit order at an extreme point and walked away and had a better trade out of it. Sometimes that limit order would not have been hit, but other times we would have stepped into a very high reward trade. Okay, next. Putting all the pieces together. 4 hours ago, we talked about the charting landscape, the 3D charting. We talked about overlaying all kinds of stuff on our price bars. Here we are during the day just putting absolutely everything together and trying to make sense of what the world looks like during the intraday. And again, it's a time frame independent thing. We're using what we know about the intraday market, a first hour range breakout system. We have a trade where the stock breaks out in the first hour range. We're watching our Bollinger Bands expand, a price right up the top of that five-period Bollinger Band in a rally. Then it starts to pull back into the track. We watch the market move from positive feedback into negative feedback. How do we know? Well, maybe we don't know from price going sideways. We sure know. It's one of the best things about Bollinger Bands is telling you when the feedbacks change, when ranges are forming. They start to do this. You ever see that in the morning if you use Bollinger Bands? It starts to look like a tweezers about to come in on itself. That's because when price moves up, it only has so many bars to keep on moving, and the Bollinger Band say, I give up. And central tendency starts to kick in and pull the market back towards center. We play our trend lines, our trend line breaks, we play our moving averages, and we look at the three trends during the day. And I use a 5 bar for very strong intraday trends, an 8 bar for moderate trends, and the 13 bar moving average for me is the interface between a bull and a bear market in my time frame. When the stock that's trending drops down below this 13 bar moving average, I expect it to keep on going to the bottom of the Bollinger Band. To me, that's break a major support line in an intraday market. And this thing works very, 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 very well and has for a number of years because it's not a common tool. It really isn't. But we're putting the pieces together and we're picking out opportunities, short sales, little entry points on little pullbacks, little breakout points. And this is really for someone who's a very active trader of getting 4 or 5 positions out of the stock in a single day. Next. I don't know if I'm allowed to use that last word here in this place, but it goes back to the tendency that everybody wants to make money, number one. They want to be a big player. They've got money. They've got margin. They've got buying power, and they want to use it. But remember, your survival is more important than your profit for your early years. If you make money in your early years and you make a few killings, great. Your job, if you wanted to do in this 5 or 10 or 15 years from now, is to survive. Learn to survive before you learn to prosper. And one of the best ways to control your risk, if you're having trouble, maybe you're having a hard time knowing where you're wrong on a trade. Trade less shares. Reduce your size. Reduce your size. Slow yourself down. Trade 50 shares. Trade 100 shares. Massage those shares for a few days or a few weeks. Take your time. Stay small. And then increase size if you want to become, when you're ready to become a player, increase size when you have the confidence and know what to do with that money, with that buying power, with that margin. Stay small until you know what you're doing. There's no rush. The market's going to be here tomorrow. It'll be here next week and next year. But will you be here playing the market next year? Next slide. Here's one more example, one final example of a first hour range break. Using the information, the charting landscape, but it also represents another little point here about the need to act very, very quickly. You know, you're going to wake up one day and you're going to have a great position, and that position, you can open your eyes, it's ready to gap down 10 points. And I suppose that's happened to a few of you. Or stock that you thought was great just goes out of control into a sell-off. If you don't take the right action in that very small frame of time, you might be taken out of the training game completely. If you freeze like a deer in the headlights, when the market starts to turn violently against you, I've seen it a couple times where, I mean, you know, President Clinton will make some statement about some world event, and all of a sudden the market goes crazy. It's called get out first and ask questions later. Don't look for explanations. Don't try to check the news. By the time you check the news, everybody else will check the news. When you see something go nuts, get out and you've got a chance. Because the bids are going to dry up on you and you're going to get stuck. Read the warning signs. Read the warning signs. I'm very proud of it. My great pride is having sold Lucent about 2 months ago at 50, right at the bottom of where it was breaking that long range at 50. My wife didn't want me to sell Lucent. It's Lucent. I already lived through terrible things with Lucent over the past year. Watch that thing swing back and forth 40 points. I had enough warning. It was right at the point I said, it's going to go. I don't want to wait to find out if I'm right or wrong. You know, 20 points later, I'm right. I had the time. That's on a daily chart. That was an investment. On an intraday chart, you may have literally seconds to make a decision. And that decision, if the market dries up on you, if liquidity dries up, could be a very, very important one. It might be the difference between a 500-point loss, excuse me, a 500-point loss, a $500 loss or a $5,000 loss, how you decide what to do. I've seen stocks with perfect technicals drop 20, 25, 30 points, small stocks, $40, $50 stocks, in a matter of minutes. I'll even look for reasons the next day and I can't find it. There's some reason. If you see it happening, you jump ship first while you can. And it requires a seasoned response to do that. Next slide. Loss of momentum. I think we already talked about this, about using the Bollinger Bands for that. Let's go past this one. Reading the warning signs. How many warning signs do you need before something bad happens? Do you wait for number 5, which is the break of this support down here? You buy like the rest of the crowd into that congestion because you think that stock's going higher? You've got a gap. You've got a break of this trend line. First warning. You've got a gap. Second warning. You've got a break of that low. Third warning. You've got a break of that high. Fourth warning. And you have a break of the trend line. Fifth warning. If you waited to the fifth warning, you took a much larger loss than that first warning, which was an excellent one. Hole in the wall. Gap down. Trend reversal on a single bar. Yeah, you took a little loss. Maybe you took a point. Now, this is lower volatility. Hollywood Entertainment's not a highly volatile stock. Same principles of trading internet stocks. Take your first warning to get out. Let somebody else decide what the reason is. And the information, you're looking for those key indicators, the signposts, they're going to tell you. If you get, the shorter the time frame you get them, the better you're going to do. Something like a gap is a one-bar signal for something, good or bad. Okay, next slide. Oh, I forgot number 6, descending stochastics. Thank you. That was number 6. Next slide. Oh. Yeah, there's more applications. I think we've probably covered those about as best as we're going to cover. So I think we'll move on. Know your price and time. You know, we're down to our last key sayings, our last great truths. Know your price and time. Know what price you want to enter a trade. Know what price you want to exit a trade. Know your holding period. Know the point where if your position does nothing, you're going to get out anyway. You buy something and nothing happens. That doesn't mean you're supposed to stay in the trade forever. Know how long you're going to hold the trade if nothing happens. You're not taking a loss, but it's opportunity cost. Yeah, Brian, I like that. Opportunity cost is that money could be applied to another trade that's going to make you a lot of money, a lot of profit, but you're sitting there watching this do nothing. Know the time frame. Know your individual times of day if you're an intraday trader. Know the sentiment times of day. Know what times of day favor you, what times of day oppose you. Know seasonality. Know why August is a month that they play games. Know why September is the worst month of the 12 months historically in the stock market. Know why markets tend to rally in December and January because of liquidity and the tax selling season. Know how things behave just a lot of times in the middle of July, just when everybody's ready to go to, on vacation. Know what to do during holiday weeks. Know what to do during options expirations. These different things, options expirations, things that should break out, don't break out. Things that should break out because of the manipulation in the market. Know your price and time. Next slide. Statistics reveal that most of you are destined to fail the shorter your time frame. The shorter your time frame, the higher your failure rate goes up. For day trading, you know, they say 90%. I suspect it's higher. Who's going to tell the truth? Broker's not going to tell the truth. I know that they need a lot of new money coming into the market all the time just to stay whole. Failure rate's probably over 90%. Pure swing trading, probably over 70%. Probably closer to 80%. Now, rather than be discouraged, realize that most people don't do their homework. Most folks who trade the markets don't do their homework. They get hot tips. They go to the stock boards. They go to the chat rooms. They don't know why they're in a position. They don't know their time frame. All they know is they want to make money. So you right away have an advantage over them by taking the time to build your education, build your knowledge, and do it seriously. But the failure rate is still very high. The chances, somebody said if you survive the first 6 months, you're doing very well. It might have been someone who wanted to keep you with a brokerage account for 6 months, you know? I don't know. It's a liar's game. All I do know that is I spent years on the stock boards. And you'll have hundreds of people come through there, learn how to trade, talk about their experiences, and then you never hear from them again. And that tells me something. They disappear off the face of the earth. Because they take their bad losses, they make their one big mistake, they're deer in the headlights, and you never see them again. And for others, it's just plain stress, too. They say, you know, this is a good way to make money, but I just can't handle this. And they back out. Does everybody who lose everything? No. Some people, they may lose 10% of their equity account, and that's a tragedy in their minds. And they go, that's it. That's their risk tolerance. Other ones bring in $100,000, they'll lose $100,000. Go, well, I'm out of money. I have to go do something else, you know? It's just, you know, considering the failure rate's high, your key to success, in my opinion, is ability to adapt and be flexible. Ability to shift gears like a chameleon, one step ahead of your competition, one step ahead of the crowd, to read the market, shift strategies that were working great yesterday, and jump on to the next thing that you know is going to work, even though you don't have the crowd telling you it's going to work. Okay, next end. This is my condensed 20 golden rules. I'll run through them really fast to see if there's anything new here. Yeah, forget the news, remember the chart. You know, if you mix fundamentals and technicals together, you're getting a tremendous amount of trouble. Buy the first pullback from a new high. Sell the first pullback from a new low. Almost here. Okay. Short rallies, not sell-offs. I'll skip a few as we go. Exhaustion gaps get filled. Breakaway gaps and continuation gaps don't. Trends test the point of last resistance. Trade with the tick and not against it. This is good. This is the stuff we've talked about for the last 4 hours. It all makes sense. It's great. I was afraid when we get to this point, we'd be nowhere near having anything condensed down. If you have to look, it isn't there. That's one of my favorite things. Forget your college degree and remember the numbers. You don't need a college degree to trade. You need good eyes. The trend is your friend in the last hour. Thank you. Marty's wife, one of the greatest people in the world. Avoid the open. Personal opinion. 1, 2, 3, drop off when you get to today. Big volume kills moves. Trends never turn on a dime. My last one's my favorite. Beat the crowd in and out of the door. Use them to get out, to hand your position to take your profit. Okay, next. Yeah, we're down to, I think, our last two. Now, which is the most important of these three?
Oh, God, they're all important.
Knowledge is the easiest to learn. It's easy to learn how to do this stuff. It's easy to learn how to read the charts, how to think contrary, how to pick out points of opportunity, how to decide where you want your reward to be, where you want your risk. Discipline's very difficult because we're not disciplined people at heart. We like our comforts. We like things to give to us kind of easily. That's our nature. It's part of our culture. So that discipline has to be overcome. To me, action, you know, some of us are, my wife's a great dancer. Me, I can't dance for anything. She's grace in motion. Some of us are grace in motion. I know folks who just hit those keys all day long. I know somebody in New York, and this is, I believe him, I don't have verification, who makes 1,400 trades a day. And if the numbers are right, he made something like $200 million last year. Now, I get this from a believable source. I don't know if it's true or not. It's possible. Anything's possible. Grace in action, but to make 1,400 trades is scalping type of thing. Imagine the intensity of action in order strictly looking at numbers. To sit there all day long, this sort of like air traffic control kind of thing. Well, in your own sense, even just trading 1 to 3 weeks, you have to do the same kind of thing. Your focus has to be there. You have to show grace in what you do. You have to show grace in action. You have to hit the keys at the right time. You have to enter at the right time, exit at the right time. So all three are required in order for long-term success. Next. And next. Last slide. We all come into this for different reasons. Many of us come into this, like myself, looking for an escape from the business world. We've had 20 years. I was a manager for 10 years. And you get it about up to here for being in the pecking order, being at the water cooler, having to deal with the boss, having to get up and put your suit on every day, go into the office, and blah, blah, blah. Many of us come into trading in order to escape that. Funny thing happens, though, as you develop knowledge, as you develop experience, and as you basically become an experienced and professional trader doesn't necessarily mean someone who trades full-time. It means someone who trades professionally, if that makes any sense. You trade like a pro. You get to that point, and the adrenaline rush starts to fade. And the adrenaline rush, for a lot of us, we don't realize it, but that's one of our prime motivations. We're looking for excitement. It goes back to that roller coaster one that we didn't have too much time to talk about. We enjoy the roller coaster. We want excitement. The purest professional traders I know, the ones that work for the big houses, it's just like working in the office again. It's a business. They make their decisions coldly and analytically, not emotionally. Some of these folks can take tremendously large losses without no sweat, nothing like that, and move on to the next trade. Because they're professionals, and they have confidence in what they're doing. At the same time, their enjoyment level quiets down, too. You know, it's the difference between when you meet your future mate and for the first 18 months of the courtship, and I'm not saying training takes 18 months, it probably takes a lot longer, but there's a lot of excitement, a lot of romance, a lot of passion, and as the years go on, that turns into a different relationship, just as profound, but on a quieter level, the passion starts to settle down. We know that. Guys have been married many years. But you're still in love. It's quieter. You build a family. The same thing with trading. Traders, over the years, start to lose their sense of excitement and becomes a job. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with walking in and getting just another day in the office. The point being, eventually, trading is a means to something else. We don't want to trade to become traders. We want to trade to enjoy freedom, to have a sense of freedom, a self-empowerment for being able to draw money out of the air rather than wait 2 weeks and have somebody hand us a paycheck. And we're so conditioned to have someone, Bernie, I hope there's no Bernies in this room. Bernie, you did a good job. Bernie, you did another good job. And that hand, where does money come from? It comes from that hand. Instead of from in here and in here, you know, and the sweat of your brow, for your own means. So part of what you have to do is look past your trading to what you want to apply your freedom to. Because the best traders, I have a friend Rogan, you know, you guys know Rogan LeBear? He's a brilliant trader. Used to be the head of trading at MB Training, and he's starting his own firm now. He's in the Fiji Islands for a month. He's in the Fiji Islands doing what he enjoys doing. And it's not trading, it's relaxing and making acquaintances with the opposite sex, I believe. But we all have that, and that's really what our goal is to find another day in the office. Now, before we leave, and before we're done, I just want to find out if anybody has any other questions. I've really had a pleasure with you today. It's really been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. I'd be glad to answer any questions, and if anybody wants to stick around, feel welcome to. Or if you want to just sit there, and I'll take the questions in the group, we'll do that as well. No, I have multiple charts on the screen. I just use Q charts. I have two 19-inch screens. You just make little boxes all over. And I can watch. It takes almost no horsepower. Yeah. Do you know those 20 rules are on my website? And in the free section. One of the ladies is asking a question, man. What did I see that made me get out? I was short Intel. Why was I short Intel? I was looking for a move down to 58 when it was at 61. And I just caught a little wiggle up, and I was afraid that there was a little squeeze going on before the market closed. And that's why. It was near the low of the day, and it should have broken that low, and it didn't. And I got a little nervous by that. So I got out of it. Of course, I wish I did. Yeah? Stochastics is created by, now let me see if I get this right, simple generic definition. It's created by where in the price range the closing bar is. In other words, you have a price range over a 5-minute period. How far near the top or bottom of that price range it closes. So it's a tendency of price to close near the top or bottom of a price range within a bar. Yeah?
Yeah. How do you interpret that? I've seen that
Now, which 1, 2, 3 up do you mean? That's just an action-reaction cycle. For every action in the market, there's a counter-reaction. And so whenever there's a thrust of anything, an indicator or price, it always pauses and goes, wait a second. And then it's looking to test, am I gonna fall? And then if nobody comes around to fall, okay. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's that it'll stop just to see, to test demand. The same way where a little range develops.
You mean to say then that it's just a hesitation and it will continue the direction, or is it an indication of a turn?
In the middle, if a stochastic is coming off overbought or oversold, I generally expect it to go to the other side. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Doesn't always happen. Sometimes the price tag is a lot stronger than the stochastic is. Anybody else?
Yeah. When you said they are right here, can you use Q charts?
You can use Q charts. Telecharts doesn't have Fibonacci.
Q charts does.
Yes. Yeah.
Where's the NASDAQ going on Monday?
It's going to go up from here. You know, when you close a gap like that, did it actually close the gap? I didn't look at the chart. But it's funny if you have an uptrend. When you have a move like that, it's an uptrend. Because it starts at the low, closes at the high on a fairly wide range of bar. It's a new wave or a new impulse. So you're in a one bar uptrend. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean it can't go down again. But I mean, the tendency is that we're going to have a follow through day on Monday in a vacuum. I mean, that's how I look at it. Yeah. Right.
So what would you say? Can I let Monday go by and look for the pullback and then get in?
Whatever you'd like to do. I won't be buying the triple Qs myself, you know. Somebody else might choose to. I don't like trading momentum. That's a pure momentum play, a follow-through day. You know, and I can't. I'll wait. I'll be the one that waits for a pullback if I was going to say do a triple Q play on that. I'd wait for it. And I drop down to the next time frame because then we have that nice gap there to do some Fibonacci work with to see what kind of pullback you're going to get, if it happens. Yeah.
What's your take on the market for opening money?
For opening money? Hey, you just asked me that.
I'm sorry, I was
No, I said I thought in the vacuum that we'll probably have a follow through day. I mean, in the vacuum, that's what you'd expect after that.
Do you have a recommendation for ECN?
Well, you don't choose an ECN. ECNs choose you. We recommend MB Trading if you're a heavy duty trader. If you're a heavy duty trader and the commissions and your trade frequency warrants it. Very good organization. MB Trading.